Again, the Christmas gospel comes to us from John's gospel. I'll be reading verses 1 through 14 of chapter 1 of the gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who is coming after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." So what are you getting for Christmas this year? Do you know? Perhaps some of you remember, as kids, how you used to sneak up in your parents' bedroom or in the hallway closet or wherever the wrapped gifts were hidden until Christmas morning, right? And they thought we didn't know. You would press the wrapping paper flat to stretch it without tearing it in hopes of being able to read the label on the box beneath. Yeah, I know the technique. I wasn't quite as sophisticated as some of my friends, but perhaps you know what I mean. Those who could remove the gift wrap by surgically severing the scotch tape with household scalpels or scissors, and then rewrap the gift and return it to its hiding place without spilling any blood or giving Mother any cause to suspect that her bedroom had been used for this illegal surgery. Now, at the risk of embarrassing you husbands, right, I will refrain from asking how many of you still give in to this temptation, peeking at your gifts before Christmas. Probably a more important question I should ask is, how do you receive the gifts you were given? Sadly, unfortunately, too many gifts are given sincerely and sacrificially, but received apathetically or critically. There's a reason why shopping malls have an additional law enforcement officers to direct traffic the day after Christmas, right? It's almost as busy a shopping day as the day after Thanksgiving. And the reason is not just the Christmas after Christmas sales. There are countless numbers of critical shoppers who want to return gifts they've been given and they can't stand. Right? If you can't re-gift them. Well, anyhow, I'm not so worried about the giving this Christmas, but it's the getting that concerns me, that I want to think about tonight. Yes, it is more blessed to give than to receive, but there needs, just as there needs to be generous givers, there needs to be gracious receivers as well. We don't want to be greedy getters, but we may have forgotten how to graciously receive. How do you receive a gift? Graciously, humbly, willingly, gratefully. You may not understand why whoever it was that gave you whatever it is, you may not even have a clue what to do with whatever you've received. But let me say this. Honor the person who honored you with the gift by receiving their offering by giving them the benefit of the doubt. Don't second guess the giver. If you never plan to wear that, oh my goodness, awful tie, that's up to you. But don't demean the giver by asking if they have a receipt so you can make tracks to the exchange window at Macy's or Walmart or Kohl's. After receiving your gifts tomorrow, there's a certain grace about receiving in a God-honoring way. Receiving, that is. Not just giving. We sometimes get self-conscious about others giving us gifts, right? Maybe we don't like being in the spotlight as the gift comes around. Maybe we don't like to have attention drawn to us. So what do? Too often we minimize the giver by saying, oh, you shouldn't have. Or, please don't give me gifts. It's kind of a selfish attitude. In this, even if you don't have a gift to give in return, don't call attention to yourself as you come to receive with false humility. Honor the giver. How important is it to learn how to receive gracefully? It's eternally important. The key verses that I read in John chapter 1 are these. He came to that which was his own, but they did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to be called children of God. There is the reception that we're looking for. We've been talking about the traditions of Christmas. Giving, gathering, greeting. Tonight I want to think about our getting. Seasoning our getting. For God so loved the world. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. God, prompted by immeasurable, incomprehensible, unconditional love, gave. God loves each and every one of you and me, us. For God so loved, you can put your name in that place, not just the world. Put your name there. Take this verse, John 3:16, personally, make it personal. Even if you were the only one who needed saving, needed a Savior, which you're not, but even if you were, God loves you personally, uniquely, individually. The Bible says God demonstrated or proved his own love toward us in this. While we were yet sinners, God loved us and sent his Son to die for us. God so loved the world that whosoever might not perish. Again, John 3:16. Yes, We have a problem. We all have a problem. We are all sinners, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible says. Preachers and people in the pew alike, all of us, need the Savior born in Bethlehem. The Bible says there are none righteous. No, not one. You know in your heart where you've transgressed, where you've dishonored God by things that you've thought, said, or done. Sin is a serious problem. We all deserve to perish, as John 3:16 said. The wages of sin is death. But the gift, again, back to the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, sin causes separation from a holy God. But the good news is we have a Savior. All of us need saving, but we have an infinite, loving, gracious Savior. Without God coming to earth in Bethlehem, we would all be going to hell. It's plain fact, scripturally spoken. Without the incarnation of Jesus, the Messiah, born as a human baby in Bethlehem, we would all experience the devastation of damnation, according to this verse from Jesus' lips, that you might not perish. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. This baby, whose birthday we celebrate tonight and tomorrow, was truly God, is truly God, and truly man. Fully God and fully man. The angelic announcement to the shepherds, I bring you good news, good tidings of a great joy. That is for all of us guys. Well, all of the people. Unto you is born this day in the town of David, in Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord, the Messiah, the Lord Himself. Jesus born King of the Jews, King of Kings. But His destiny included a horrible death. In the shadow of the manger tonight, we see the cross. Or maybe it's the manger in the shadow of the cross, it's hard to tell. But there was a hill far away, Calvary, on which stood an old rugged cross. Outside of another city, Jerusalem, He died for you and for me, that we might be forgiven. That's the good news the angels sang. The angels told the Bethlehem shepherds of a good shepherd, the good shepherd, who would lay down His life for His sheep. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us, let's be honest, have turned to our own way. But God has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Jesus became our Savior by becoming our substitute, our atoning sacrifice for our sin. He was perfect, sinless, but He took upon Himself the burden of our guilt, that by God's grace we might have eternal life and be reconciled to God. That's good news. That's the gospel. That whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Heaven is a gift. It's a free gift. Gifts we celebrate are not things that we worked for or deserve. They're freely given and freely received. That's the meaning. That's the essence of giving and receiving. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, lest no one should boast, the Bible says. You can't work for it. You can't pay enough to the church to purchase it. Otherwise, the rich would have a superior advantage. It's a gift. But here's the thing. We have the responsibility to receive this gift. Receive the gift of God by faith, trusting in Him in your heart. Believing leads to repentance. That's part A of our response. Repentance. Repenting means confessing your sins and deliberately deciding to turn away to new life. Receiving forgiveness. A change of heart. A change of course from your sin, turning to Him. And part B of our response, believing leads to receiving the greatest gift of all offered to you. Again, personally, individually, are you ready, willing, able to receive it? When is a gift yours? I had a conversation not too long ago with a couple children. And I wanted to share with them a gift. I didn't have as much money as I wanted to offer them. They looked at me like, what's the catch? What's really going on here? But I said, here, this is yours. This is your gift. When is this gift yours? And one said, when I take it, when I receive it. Yes, exactly. It's up to us to take Jesus into our hearts. It's up to you and me by faith, through a prayer of faith, to accept Christ. There's no catch. There's no strings attached. But it's up to you to decide to open your hearts to receive Him. That's what Christmas is all about. I hope you're getting all this. Now get this. Don't miss this when you receive this gift. It's yours forever. There are no take-backs. And it forever changes the way you receive any gift. Every gift you receive this Christmas is, in a small way, a reminder of God's greatest gift of Himself. Don't miss the point of Christmas. Don't miss the opportunity of a lifetime. Don't miss the joy of true Christmas. Believing leads to receiving. I would invite you tonight to pray with me. I'm going to pray a prayer. You can pray along with me and make it your own by faith. The challenge is to engage your heart. Not just tune in with your mind and your ears, but with your heart and a heart of faith. Pray along with me. Oh God, I thank You for Your best gift of all. I thank You for the gift of Jesus and the gift of salvation through Him. Lord, I know that I have sinned. I know that I need Your forgiveness. I know that I need Your mercy and grace. Lord, come. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in to stay. Come in today. Come in and save me, that I might be Your child as I receive You, that I might be born again with a new life, a new beginning, a fresh start, a new birth. Oh Lord, I thank You for loving me and all of my friends here with an everlasting love. Lord, I choose to follow You and to walk with You today and the rest of my life. As I turn to You, fill me with Your Holy Spirit that we might walk with Jesus, especially on Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing Silent Night, as a response of faith, I'd like to invite you to receive the light and share the light of Christ. By the way, don't tip a lit candle. Always tip an unlit candle into a lit candle. As you shine the light, as you share the light, God loves you. But let's stand together as we pass the light and as we sing.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yonder virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender.
Shadows and darkness. Be the light as Jesus lives in you, the light of the world. Take his love, take his joy, take his peace into all the world. Merry Christmas.